Okay, let's begin. We're up to Daniel Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Dalet. I just want to go over one popular piece of Gemara. Everyone knows to review this from the last pasuk. We did not discuss this on Friday. Pasuk Gimel v'hamaskilim yazhiru kizoyar harakiu matzdikei harabim ka. This pasuk mentions two different groups of people, the maskilim and the matzdikei harabim. So I just want to review a well-known Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Ches. There are two opinions. I'll read you the words of the Gemara. What does in the hamaskilim yazhiru kizoyarakia zedayon shedon din emes lamita? And what does it mean? The matzdiki harabim kakachavim le'olam boed elu agaboy tzedaka. Why the gaboy tzedaka compared to the kachavim? Because they have a proper approach to giving tzedaka is beseser, not to cause the recipient to feel any shame. And just like the stars only shine in the evening, at night when it's dark, so too the tzedaka should be given in a way where in darkness, where the Ani does not have to feel the shame of receiving a handout. That's the first opinion of the Gemara. And the second opinion of the Gemara is, the Gemara groups together the two. The Amaskilim Yazhiru Kizoyar Harakia Zed, both Adayon Shadon Dinem Eslamitai and the Gaboy Tztaka. They're both in the category of maskilim. And according to this approach, we're not so much focusing on the sun, kizoyar, but rather the focus of a gabay tzedakah is he has to be very wise. It's extremely difficult to know to whom. Of course, tzedakah money is very limited. It's very hard to collect and very limited how much we can be distributed. It requires a great amount of wisdom, seichel, and success to give the money to the people that are truly deserving. And then matzdiki harabim ka kochavim le'olam voed. This refers to melamdei tinoikos. Elu melamdei tinoikos. I think this is a nice reminder. I'm sure many of you learned this Gemara at some point in time. It's very powerful Gemara to learn in Yeshiva Ketana, to learn in Sifta, Bava Basra, everyone knows Bava Basra, HaPerek HaShutafin. And the Gemara basically from these one pasuk takes three different groups of people. Melamdei tinoikos, adayon, shadon, denem eslamitoi, and gaboy tztok. And groups those three into these two categories, and the one that vacillates from one group to the next is the gaboy tztaka. Gaboy tztaka sometimes has to be kizoyar horokia, has to shine like the light in the heaven, the shine of the heaven, and sometimes the gaboy tztaka has to be like the kochavim, like the stars. Times of darkness. That's the one that melamdei tinoikos is always in the gather of kakochavim, like the stars, and the adayon always has to be in the madrega of kizoyar harukia. But the gabay tztaka, it's less than jush, a little bit of both. Sometimes has to be like the adayon, as a judge to decide who gets money, who does not get money. It sometimes has to be kimlamei tinoikos, like the category of those who teach children Torah. Okay, that's a Gemara Masechta Bava Basra Daf Ches. Okay, let's now go on further. Okay, now so we pretty much finished the vision that was presented to Daniel by Michael. This is by Gavriel. Gavriel presented this vision of world, of what's going to happen in this world until the time of Mashiach. And now Pasuk Dalet, he basically packages up everything that he has said. The Ata Daniel, you Daniel, Sisom Hadvarim, conceal the words that I have told you, Vachasoim Hasefer, and seal the Sefer. When? Ad ace kates, until the end of time. Kates is the end, ace the time of the end. Till the gula. So the Malach is telling Daniel that you should not write, we'll see the Rashi and the Mitzvah in a moment, you shall not let it be known openly everything that I have told you. What I have told you should be concealed, only preserved for generations in an abstract, hidden form. Because there are too many secrets that have been revealed that it's not proper for the average man to be aware of. Write it in in the secret form that those Talmidei Chacham, those people that need to know, will be able to decipher what you have written, but the average man will not be able to figure out what you have seen. But should we finish?
What's the whole purpose of this?
So we explain. We explain that if we know what's coming, that's a chatzi nechama. There are harsh days coming ahead. Then the Malach is speaking to deal the time of Koresh. So they're still in the middle, in between the Churban Bayis Rish and the Bayis Sheni, and he's also making he's telling Daniel that don't make a mistake and think, because Daniel was under the impression, we have this idea many times in the Mefarshim in this parak, Daniel was under the impression that the Geul is imminent. After all, Yirmiyah said after 70 years, Hashem will rebuild the churvos of Yerushalayim. So he was disturbed. It's been 70 years, according to his calculation, and Yerushalayim has not been built. The Beis HaMikdash has not been built. Okay, so it's a little bit late. He was very worried. He was concerned. He started fasting. The Malach Tzidki made him take a calculation. Don't calculate the 70 years from the time of the kibush of Yechoniah. You have to calculate the 70 years from the kibush of Tzidkiyahu and the Churban. Okay, he made a mistake. But once the Geula will come, it will be the ultimate Geula. The main chiddush that the Malach, the most important chiddush the Malach told Daniel was that the Bayis Sheni will not be the Geula Shleima. There's going to be a Geula in 70 years. How you calculate those 70 years? Okay, we have to work that out. But when those 70 years do come to an end and there will be a rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, I have bad news to tell you.
It's not the final
Geula. And that was the ultimate shock for him and for his generation. We take this for granted. To us, like we're here for 2,000 years since the Churban Bayis Sheni. So for us, like water off a duck, this doesn't have any impact on us. But this was a terrible shock. And not only after telling them that it's not going to be the Geula Shleima, it's just going to be temporary, just going to be for 420 years to bring to a grand total of 490 years since the Churban of the Bayis Rishon, then there's going to be a long, long galus. How are we going to survive? How can Klal Yisrael possibly survive the long galus? So if you already know what's going to happen, you know the basic points in history, that is a chatzi nechama. You see that you're progressing as things are unfolding in history. You're able to go back to these psukim. You're able to read into these psukim that this was predicted, and you see where you are in this timeline. That will give you the chizuk, the strength to continue to reach the end of days, the times of Yemos HaMashiach. So that's why he's telling him this, is you have to know what's coming in order to give you strength to overcome the difficult times. So let's conclude the pasuk, and we'll see the mezuzah and the Rashi. He gives a command. The command is: why am I telling you to take these words to be two things? They're two expressions, which I don't know the significance. Everything here is very deep. There is something called sisom hadavarim, and there's another thing called vachasoim hasefer. They're divarim, words. Words seemingly mean there's going to be tradition. Not everything is going to be put in the written form. There will be some degree of Torah Sheh Baal Peh. And then there's going to be things that are going to be put in writing. So when it comes to the Mesorah, what you're going to give over to your children, your grandchildren, you're going to become part of the Torah Sheh Baal Peh, it should be concealed. Don't reveal everything you know. You know secrets that are not meant for the Hamonam. Sison HaDevarim. With regard to the Mesorah, let it be hidden. Furthermore, you're going to put this in writing. In fact, he was not the one who wrote down Sefer Daniel. Sefer Daniel was written, I don't remember exactly, but I think it was by the Anshei Knesset, partly by him. There was a group of people who wrote down the last set of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, which included the Anshei Knesset HaGedoyla. And among this is a group of people that lived into the Tkufa of the Bayis, the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. And among them were Nevi'im, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Daniel, Ezra, And Mordechai HaYehudi was also part of this group who put into writing the last group of Sfarim that were included in the Sifrei Tanakh. So he told them, when you do put this Sefer into the Chavdal Sifrei Tanakh, make sure the Chasoim HaSefer in the Tarsha B'Chsav, it also has to be, it has to be hidden. So Chastis Dvarim and Sefer, the Dvarim is Sison, and what's Besefer is going to be Chasom. Chasom doesn't mean just seal it, it means in this context, hide it. Because something that is sealed, you don't know what's underneath the seal. That's the whole purpose of the seal. That this thing is closed, you can't see what's inside, and you would not open it up, because by opening up what's inside, that means you have to break the seal, and then no longer is it authentic, no longer can we be certain that it is true. And this will go on at Ace Kate. This all these secrets will be preserved until the end of days, the time of the end. And therefore, since it is concealed, it's going to be of great advantage. What's the advantage? Yeshotetu rabim v'sirbe hado'as. Yeshotetu means to swim. And this is in the future tense, and it's in the it's a command. Let the masses swim. Let them swim, and it means of intellectually. Let them attempt with their mind and apply themselves mentally to figure out how all of this will come to an end. Meaning, and I, that's not necessarily a good thing, because Chazal are critical, that Rambam says, it's not our business to know how things are going, the end game, how things are going to come to an end. We don't really know. But at least we should yearn. One of the 13 principles of faith, we yearn for its coming every single day, and that is a form of Yeshotetu. And our minds were swimming. Maybe Mashiach will come this year, it will come next year. Maybe if we have this schus, we have that schus. We will constantly do things with our mind to yearn for the coming of Mashiach, because it's not clear when it is. If we knew for a fact that Mashiach would come in a particular year, and a group of people who are not going to live, it's not expected, and the normal rules of their life expectancy, it's not going to take them to that tekufa, they might despair. They might be miyayish, and why bother? We suffer so much in Golus. Why should we bother to continue to observe Torah mitzvos when it's not going to come in our lifetime? And all we have to yearn for, all we have is suffering, and that's a very great sakana, because that can threaten the continuity of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, adarabba, let it not be known, and therefore everyone will have a yearning for the coming of Mashiach, and will try to figure out in their minds, maybe now, maybe tomorrow, maybe in this chus, maybe in that chus, yeshotetu rabim, they will swim in their minds, and this sirbe hadoas, and through this process, knowledge will increase. Yes.
We referred earlier to Tchias HaMeisim anyway, so even if you're not going to be alive, you'll come back.
But who are you coming back to? If there's no Klal Yisrael, there has to be something to come back to. There has to be some foundation in place to come back to. I don't know the answer. You're asking very, really very deep things here, which is hard to get. It's just very, very rough points. Let's see over here. What?
Wouldn't it be second guessing? Wouldn't it be people making mistakes? Wouldn't it be?
Yes, we're going to see that in that coming second.
I had a rough who believed when the Iran crisis was on that the Mashiach was coming. That was it. You know for sure. No, and I believe him 100%.
We discuss. So the truth is, every single point in time is an ace in Masugu. Many Gedolim made calculations. So we discussed this. The calculations are correct. Because if we merit, Mashiach can come Hayoim, can come today. And then we will be able to go back and look in Pesuk, and we'll be able to clearly see all of the events. The Melech HaTzofain was this world leader, and the Melech HaNegev was this world leader, and the Melech HaMizrach was this world leader. Every generation, the words allow themselves to be interpreted in reference to the Geula. But we have to merit. But it all depends on our tshuva, on our yearning for the Mashiach. If we merit for Mashiach, then we'll be able to. So it's true. All of these times are times that are misugal for Mashiach to come. If we take advantage, then they will come. It will come. Like we mentioned, that there, the times that are not masugal for Mashiach to come, we need a full dosage of merit. If you would go and you would measure merit on a scale of 1 to 10, you would need a 10 in order to bring the Mashiach. During these special times in world history, when Iran is acting up, or when the Persian Gulf War, or the Holocaust, the Crusades, or pogroms, blood libels, you go through every different kufa in Klal Yisrael, then it's an ace misugal. On a scale of 1 to 10, we only merit a 3, a merit of 4. These are times where it's much easier for us to bring the geula with less merit. And then we'll look back at the psukim, and the psukim will allow itself to be interpreted in such a fashion. Yes, that's what it was meant to be. Nothing is rigid. Everything is very flexible. The prophecy is very multidimensional. Okay, so let's over here see the words of the Mitzudas. So the Mitzudas says, even the little bit that you know, and you think you know everything, I've only revealed to you, Daniel, a small amount, a small little picture of what's going to be in world history. I want you to put this in writing, so the Mitzudas learned the Pasuk a little bit different than I told you in the Mahalach. But everything goes together. Take these Devarim, put everything in one shot. Take the words, what you've seen, and put it in writing in words that are sosum and are only written derech remes. Hence, v'chasum kesavim b'sefer b'dvarim chasumim. Repetition. Okay, the Mitzvah is learning the Pasuk on a very similar level. It should be written derech remes. V'chofel hadavar, there is repetition, poetic repetition, is Pasuk b'masha omar l'zarzo uli hazir b'yoser, to warn him, to encourage him, to warn him to do it properly. Poetic repetition, the Pasuk. I gave you another interpretation of the Pasuk, that sesom hadvarim, there's no repetition. Sesom hadvarim is for the Tarsha Baal Peh, what's going to be transmitted throughout the generations orally, and chasom hasefer is what you're going to actually put in writing when you're going to one day write Sefer Doniel, which we have in front of us. It shall be written b'derech remes. Okay, next words of the Mitzudos, ad es kates, that this will continue to exist according to. If you look, it seems the Mitzudos had a different tamei hamikra. Because according to the Tamei HaMikra that we have in front of us, v'chasem ha-sefer ad es kates, period, es nachta, then put this in, then there's a new sentence, amercha tibcha yeshaytetu rabim v'sirbe ha-doas. It seems that the way the Dibur HaMaschil of the Mitzudos is not uncommon in Nevi'im and Ksuvim, is a little bit different. He's putting these expressions, so he's putting the words v'chasem ha-sefer, period. Okay, and then he's saying, take the words on Ace Kates, Yeshow Turah Mesir Badas. He's putting those three words on Ace Kates together with the end of the Pasuk, which is contradictory to what we have in our Pasuk for the Tamei HaMikra. But that's again, like we said, it's not such a big deal. Ad Ace Kates, Yeshow to Ad A Ad Bo Ace Kates, Hagula, when the Gula will come, Hinei Rabim, until the time of the Gula coming, Hinei, behold, what's going to happen? Rabim Yeshow to, many are going to swim, Bitnua Samachshava, in the thought process, movements of the thoughts, gymnastics, intellectual gymnastics, lahaskil amita sakets, to understand the truth of the end of days, the yisyar behadas, and through that process we have the silver lining of not knowing where Mashiach is. It will increase knowledge. People will study. They will delve very deeply into the Torah to understand cause and effect, the reward from it, so the punishment, and there will be a great increase of knowledge that will expand among Klal Yisrael. The Yisyar Bechadas Lachkar, to inquire B'yoser Uche'oimer. What does this pasuk really mean to say? I'm up to pasuk Dalet in the Mitzudos. Uche'oimer Hinei Yachkoiru, they will inquire at Es Kates, but V'lo Yedu Me'uma. You can try all you want, you'll know nothing. Ava bavoho eis, this is the very powerful words here, but when Mashiach will indeed come, us, it will be so simple, even a child will say, how could you be so foolish? Look at the pasuk. How come you didn't know this? Us, yufkichu, einechol, it will open up, like we're blind, as if we're blind, it will be opened up the eyes of all the hovin to understand, rimze zeman hagu'ula. Like we learned, go back, that pasuk of the Holocaust, who would imagine the Holocaust? Time of the Rishonim. the time of Rashi. Who, you read this pasuk alpha, Eis Ahipu, pasuk alpha, Yamun Michal Asar Godel Ho'imid Al Bnei Amecha, V'hoitza Eis Sara, Asher Lo Nihiyosim Yoskoi, Ado Eis Ahiu, V'Eis Ahi Yimolet Amecha Kol Hanimsa Kosa Basefe. What does that mean? You go ask Rashi. What does that mean? Rashi living in the 11th century, beginning of the 12th century. For us, I mean, I don't know if 100% right, but for us living in hindsight, you go follow the whole pattern, it seems almost simplistic that this refers to the Holocaust. It's exactly what the Mitzudas is saying about the entire thing. Only when it comes to the very end can you look back in hindsight. Ponai achora yerohu, uponai lo yerohu. You could only see me from the back, you cannot see from behind. We once discussed this, that the Kaisel Hamaravi, that the Shekhinah did not depart from the western wall. Where do we go to Mispal B'zman HaZeh? The Kaisel HaMaravi. And this is a tradition that Hashem did not allow Titos. He had four generals. Each one was given a mission to take down one of the walls of the Harbayis. And the one that did not succeed was the one to take down the Kaisel HaMaravi. All the Ramazim, that's the only wall that still remains. Why? When the Chazal tell us as a Messiah that Leposcha Shekhinah from the Kaisel HaMarav. Why the Marav? Because the Marav is the Achorai, is behind. When you come, there are many different references to Chazal. When you come into the Beis HaMikdash, it's the Panim. When you walk into Shar Nikanor, you're facing the Panim of HaKadosh. The Shekhinah has a Panim, has a face. And the Panim is Mizrach. It's facing us. That means Marav, on the back side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is the Achorai, is the back of the Shekhinah. And Bizman HaZeh Golus, the Shekhinah is to be found Achorai, on the Kosel HaMaravi, which is behind the back side of the Beis HaMikdash. When you go to Kosel HaMaravi, you're facing the back of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why? Because in Golus, the Shekhinah is Achorai Yerohu, Uponai Lo Yerohu. We don't merit to come enter into the Beis HaMikdash to see the Shekhinah upon him, what's coming in the future. But we do merit in the Golus to have a relationship with the Shekhinah in hindsight. And that's really what the Mitzvot of here is saying, is put it in writing, and from behind you'll be able to understand all of these events. Let's see over here, Rashi, there is no Rashi. Let's go to the next Pasuk, V'ri'isi ani Daniel. So Daniel over here, after the Malach, Gavriel told him what to do. I've shown you the vision. I've told you to conceal. It's a big secret. Don't let even the little bit that you know. The Mitzvot is a very interesting point. You think I've shown you everything? Haha. I've shown you just a tiba shabayam. A small, teeny amount. And even that small amount that I revealed to you, I don't know what anyone to know about this. This is a secret for you to know. I know you should put this in remes for future generations. So Daniel now Daniel begins to speak for the first time in a very long time. We haven't had his own words. Everything until now was being shown to him. Now he speaks of V'ro'isi ani Daniel. I, Daniel, have seen. V'hine now shnayim achidim oimdim. Two new malachim appear on the scene. Out of nowhere, two malachim. Echad heino l'svas hayo. One is sitting on this side of the edge of the river. V'echad heino l'svas hayo. Seemingly the oryer is the chidekel. He's in Paras. He's in Bavel. Bavel took over. That was one of the interesting things, that Paras, Sumodai, they did not make their own, even though they had their own nations of Persia. And Modai, when they first conquered, Belshazzar, where did they set up their capital? In Bavel. They set up their capital, they took over the palace of, and the grounds of Belshazzar. They were not interested in setting up shop in their own hometown, because they had a much nicer palace. Belshazzar, who I guess the Yarshin it from Evel Merodach and from the Vuchanetzar, they had much more impressive quarters than what Paras and Modai. So here he's in the along the Chidekel, which is in Bavel. Does the Chidekel along the Pra in Persia? I don't think so. Persia and Modai? I don't think so. I think this has to be along the Yor. The Yor here, the first one is the Yor is the Chidekel, so we are in Bavel. So I saw over here are along the edge of the river. Another malach along the edge of the river. Let's see over here the mitzudos pasek hey. Shnei malach machin mulbat malach adarabi. Besides, Zavchel speaking to me. Besides, Gabriel, the two malachim, we don't know where their names are. Echad heina meiver hazev hayar. The mitzudos says he in the har chidekel. This is chidekel. How we knew that? I'm not sure. It must be from the beginning of the beginning. Get back in the beginning of this vision. It must be some reference to chidekel. We did say there was chidekel. So I guess we're going back to the beginning of the vision where we did, I think, explicitly mention it was Chidekel. Fine. Vayom Elo'ish, we did mention, because there the Gemara was called the Nahar HaGadol. Remember we had a whole discussion, is that why is it called, is in Pras, is the Nahar HaGadol. We had a discussion, why in the Torah is it called Pras, the Nahar HaGadol, and here Chidekel is described as the Nahar HaGadol, so we discussed this then. Pasuk Vav. Vayom Elo'ish Luvush HaBadim. So now, Vayomer is now. This is misleading. You would think Vayomer maybe but you would think that since over here Daniel is speaking, right? Who's speaking over here? Pasuk Hey, Viroisi Ani Daniel. I Daniel saw. So you would think now Pasuk Vav, the one that's now speaking is Daniel. Daniel is now going to address the Malach Gavriel. Vayomer, he said. So then it would be from, okay, maybe that's the proof. Then we would be focusing that now the one who is writing, the psukim go back and forth. The psukim go back and forth. Who's speaking? Okay, you're right. Vayomer, I guess if we focus on the context, it would be more grammatically correct. That's, I guess, the proof. The one that's speaking over here is not Daniel. The one that's speaking here is one of these two malachim. We don't know which one it is. Vayomer lo ish levush habadim asher mimal, that was above meimei hayar, ad mosai keitz hapilos. Until when will be the end of pilos? Hard word to translate, which means one of two things. The secret, rather, Mitzudos Tzion says, Hamechuse, what is concealed, Kmo ki yafli mimcha, if something will be concealed, ki yipole mimcha dovar, if something will be concealed from you. So he's learning in a very simple translation, until when, Admosai, when will it be the end of days which is concealed? That's one approach. Another approach, Lashon of Pella, a wonder. When will it happen, the wonders and the miracles of the end of days? So, I mean, they're both true, but they're very different translations. You want to say they're related? Possibly. But on a very simple level, there's a secret. When will the end of days, which is concealed from us, occur? Or when will it come, the end of days, where magnificent, marvelous things, pelos, wonders, will come to this world? Now this one of the malachim. Who are these two malachim? So I did see from the, I think the Abarbanel, he suggests a tremendous chiddush. He says that these two malachim represent Christianity and Islam, or represent Edom and Yishmol. Yishmol has taken upon themselves the religion of they're not necessarily related. It's a pella. These coincide. Edom, Edom doesn't have anything really to do with Christianity. Yeshua, Notzri, what do they have to do with Christianity? In fact, the early Roman Empire persecuted for about 200-300 years. They brutally persecuted anyone that dared practice Christianity. Was tortured. Was killed. The first two, Paul and Peter, were killed. They were crucified by Nero, the same Caesar who was responsible, who sent Titus to destroy the base of Midrash. He had them executed, had them crucified for believing this religion, for Christianity. But somehow, Constantine, it's the whole thing is very bizarre. He completely went mikotze elakotze through the influence of his mother to make it the national religion. And Edom, the Kittim, who are the heirs to Edom, they became one and the same with this religion called Christianity. Even though there's not necessarily a relationship, maybe there is, I don't know. And Yishmael, what is Islam, Muhammad, this invention of Islam, what does it have to do with the Ishmaelim from the time of Avram Avinu? Nothing. Somehow, it caught their attention and they identified with it, and today they're known. You cannot separate today Edom from Christianity, and today you cannot separate the religion of Islam from the from Yishmael, the children of Avram Avinu. That's how it is. So he says these two malachim represent these two religions, which in the greater picture of things represent the two major players on the world until the end of days, which dominate today, Ad Hayom Hazeh. These are the two, the clash today between crusade versus jihad. That's what the world is all about today. The calling of the Christians is crusade, and the calling of Islam is jihad. And this clash is a churban for the world, and Klal Yisrael is the collateral damage. That's what it's all about. And therefore, these two malachim that are on the two sides of the Nahar are know that when the Geula comes, they will depart. Then Islam and Christianity, Yishmael and Edom, will have to go to the side, and they want to know how long will they remain on the Ya'ar. Will they be able to fool the world and stand along the Yor and present themselves as being Malachim dressed in their holy clothing and fool the world? How long will this go on for? They asked this to Gavriel, who is the Tsar. Gavriel is the senior Malach in Shemayim. How long will this go? So one more time, one of these Malachim, which one asked? It's very interesting. Which one? Was it, who was more concerned about their demise? Was it Yishmael or was it Esav, Edom? Doesn't say. It just says one of them asked the question. He asked the man that's Levush Abadim, which refers to Gavriel. He was wearing linen. He was dressed from a linen ulamata. Asher Mimal, he was standing Mimal Lime Mehayar. Ad Mosai Kates Hapalos. Until when will this time that is concealed from us, until when will it last, and when will we have to leave? Or when will all the miracles happen? So what did the Malach say? Pasik Zayin Vo Eshmai heard. Esoish Levush Abadim. I heard Gavriel, who was dressed in linen, in white linen. The Midah of Rachamim prevails over the Midah of Din. Asher Mimal, that stood Mimal Lime Mehayar. This repetition, why do we have to say that again? I do not know. And he did something very interesting. He picked up his right and left hand. Where do we find this? We find this by Moshe. When Moshe Rabbeinu, when they went to fight Mohammed, the remnants over here to Mohammed al-Malik. When the Jews went, so Moshe lifted up his hands and they were supported by Yehoshua and Hur. They lifted up his hand, one on the right, one on the left. And as long as Moshe's hands were raised, v'govar Yisrael. And when Moshe's hands got weak and they could no longer hold it, then they were weakened, and then the battle went in the other direction towards Amalek. So here we're using the same exact image or the same terminology that's found by the Melchama of Amalek. Reishis goyim Amalek v'achrisei adayat. It's the first and the last war. Amalek, that's something very bizarre, because how does that all fit into this big picture of world history? It's another very, very difficult variable, which is hard. We're so, after learning this, we're so carried away by Yishmael and by Esav. But what about Amalek? Where do they come into the picture? Who exactly is Amalek? So Amalek is a category, is a subcategory of Esav? Or is maybe Amalek part of also a chelik of Yishmael? I don't know. These are all very, very interesting things. But we have the same image. His hands, his right and his left, in El Hashamayim. He swore by the life of the world, by Hashem. A very unique expression for Hashem. And where do we find this? We say this every single day. Baruch Chei Ha'olamim. There's a whole machlokes what the Gerson in Baruch Sha'amar. We say that by the Bar Nefashos. Yochid Chei Ha'olamim. And in fact, there is a very big dispute of what do we say in Baruch Sha'amar? We conclude Yochid Chei Ha'olamim Melech Mishabach Umefa'ar Adei Atshmo Hagadol Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Mulo Batishmachos. Is it Chei Ha'olamim or is it Chai Ha'olamim? There are two Gersos.
Do it again. Yishtabah.
Same thing. So there's a very big debate There we say in this sitter, at least, Yochid Melech Yochid Kel Chei Ho'olamim. And that's exactly what it says over here. It says B'chei Ho'olam, not Ho'olamim, B'chei Ho'olam. And some want to say the girsa, the correct nusach is Chei Ho'olamim, not Chai Ho'olamim, as some others have it. And they quote this pasuk. This pasuk in Daniel, in the middle of nowhere, right? We never imagine. You take the pasuk in the middle over here to prove the correct nusach should be, because you see that's how it's, that is the way it is expressed.
Also,
yeah?
It's also,
so what do we say there?
L'chai
ho'ilamim. So then we say l'chai. Okay, so that's the big question. What's the different nuance between l'chai and l'chai? Now here we're going, now here's the hard pasuk. We're in Pasuk Zion. So the Malach, he lifted up his right and left hand and he swore by Hashem, Kilimoed, a time, Moadim, times, Vochetzi, and half of that, those times, Uchichalos, and when it will come to an end, Napetz Yad, Am Kodesh, the dispersion of the hand of the holy nation, Tichlena, will come to an end, Kol Eila. That's a mouthful. Okay, there's a lot going on here. So let's do one thing at a time. First thing, let's focus on the word L'moed Moadim Vochetzi. This parallels exactly what we had back in Perek Ches. Okay, so what were the words there in Perek Ches? This was in Aramaic. Idon Vechatzi Idon. Idon v'idonin v'chatzi idon. Let me find the pasuk. Where is the pasuk? Zion. Okay, let's just see the mitzvot first. Let's do one thing at a time. I have everything over here prepared, so I hope. Okay, let's just go through this both very quickly because we spent a lot of time this when we learned it. Let's look at the mitzvot pasuk Zion. Okay, let's just go a general run to the pasuk and then we'll discuss some things in a little more detail. Pasuk Zion v'eshma shemati yisoy shoyer medaber v'yerem yimino k'derech hanishpoim k'mashamach yimosi yodi el Hashem. He lifted up his hand. We hear the mitzvot quotes Avraham Avinu. Where do we find lifting up the for the very first time? Av harimos yodi lekel elyon kone shemaim baretz in michut v'yatzeroch nal in ekach mikol asheloch v'loy toymar ani hesharti es Avram. So the first one to lift up their hand in making an oath was Avraham. So the Mitzudos focus, he's taking us back, which is very interesting, that we're discussing here the very end, and where it's a nice connection, we're tying the end to the beginning. Our forefather is Avraham Avinu, he is where it all started, Avraham or Ivri, he is the start of everything that we have, and here the Malach is saying that it's going to come to an end, the world will come to an end with the coming of Mashiach, and the way he expressed that is in the same way that Avraham Avinu brought about Yadus to the world when he made the ultimate Kiddush Hashem in front of the Melech Sodom when the world war, the four kings and the five kings were over. I told you another interpretation that the significance of the Kiddush is referring to Melchemes Amalek, because the very end of the days will coincide with Melchemes Amalek, even though here we're dealing with the Muslims and with the Christians, but there's also something to keep in mind, the Muslims. Okay, so that's okay, what is Mechay Olamim? Hashem Shu Mechaye Ho'olam. Hashem is the life, is the one that gives life to the world, Umamido, and puts it in its place. L'moed Mo'adim V'chetzi, L'zman Shnei Zmanim, V'chatzi Zman. So the Mitzvah of here is right away taking sides. This is very controversial what he's saying, because we're going to review this, because if you want, I'm reading from the Mitzvah of Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin. If you want, we can read this. L'moed is one time. L'mo'adim is two. 2 + 1 = this Mo'adim is plural, is three. So it's three times. And then a chatzi zman. That's not what he says. He says l'zman shnei zmanim. He says the word mo'adim is not to be interpreted as double, but just another one. There's a moed, and then there's a moadim, means a second zman, two, total of two, and then a three. So that's going to be a difference of 500 years. That's a very big difference in the number of years. So in any calculation you make, that's the first question you have to work with. Is the word Moadim in addition to the first, or is it just just a supplement to the first? So he's taking sides. It's a total of two and a Chatizman. Okay, let's read the next question. So this is Chalos, Chasha Yichle. Now, when will all of this come? Nefutzos means to disperse. You take a kli and you shatter it, and all the shards scatter. The scattering of the strength of the Jewish people. Now, what does that mean? It means that when they'll run out of energy, when they'll run out of steam, when the Jewish people will just, we're exhausted, our koyach has dissipated. It's been scattered. We no longer have. How in the world can that possibly happen? What's the purpose of the koyach? It means tzaras. When the Jewish people will suffer so much, they'll be so weak. What's the silver lining of suffering? All of the sins are forgiven. Ratzalah makasha yimurak. It will be purged. Heovain, the sin of the Jewish people. V'tichle mehem nefutzos hakoyach. And it will come to an end, the scattering of their strength, which is an expression they'll be completely wiped out. Shahayelohem, that will be to them because hagoyla, due to the great difficulties of exile. The kablu Yisrael, and now he's eating over here something that doesn't really say over here in the pasuk. The kablu, I don't know where he's getting this from. The mesudas. The kablu Yisrael as hamalucha be'eretz Yisrael. They will makabel the malucha in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. The Makabel, the authority, the kingship in Eretz Yisrael, they will establish sovereignty. Galus is over. Well, maybe that's what it means. Since over here it says, Chalos Napetz means when the Jewish people will cease to be dispersed. There'll be Kibbutz Golios. And the only way Kibbutz Golios can occur is through a sovereign state. An Eretz Yisrael that has a degree of Malchus. That's the way he's interpreting the pasuk. Because Nafetz doesn't just only mean that they're wiped out, their koyach has dissipated. It means that the people have been dispersed throughout the exiles. Now there is an ingathering. And ingathering can only occur through a Malchus, through some central body, of some central governmental body that can bring in the Jewish people. That's, it appears, the way the Mitzvah wants to learn. When it will come to an end, the Napetz Yad Am Kodesh, the hand, the strength of the holy nation that has been dispersed from the exile, then Tichleno Kol Eile, all of the things that I, that means will come to an end, all of the things that I've shown to you. The Malach says to Daniel, and he also is saying to the Malachim over here, these two Malachim that are standing on the sides of the river, you've also seen this. You've seen amazing things. All of these things will come to an end in the end of days when the Jewish people, when their galus is over. When their galus is over, that's when they will be, they will re-establish themselves in Eretz Yisrael. That's when the Ketz HaPelaos will occur. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Zayin. Uchalos Napetz Am Kodesh Kishetichle Koyach Yisrael. So he learns it similar to the Mitzudos, but he based upon the pasuk which I'm going to read for you in a moment. Will come to an end the Koyach Yisrael. What does that mean? It's based on the pasuk in Hazinu Ki Ozlas Yod. Their strength will, Yod means their power will dissipate. The Efes, it will cease to exist. Otsur v'nezov. Now let me quote you, let me use the entire passage. This is in Hazinu, end of Hazinu. Passage begins, Ki yodin Hashem amo, Hashem will judge his nation. V'al avadov yisnecham, and upon his servants, he will have relent. Yisnecham will change his mind. Hashem will decide, no longer will I bring upon my servants suffering. I have decided to bring upon them harm. Yisnecham. Nechama means to change. Vayinochem Hashem. Hashem changed his mind no more. Enough suffering. Why will Hashem have a change of heart concerning his servants? Here the key words in the pasuk is in Hazinu, in Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Lamed Vav, ki yireh Hashem will see ki ozlas yod. That the Jewish people, their power, their koyach, has been greatly diminished. They're extremely weak, physically weak and spiritually weak. The Efes, and there is none. Efes means zero. In modern Hebrew, Efes means zero. The Efes. Otsur v'yazuv, they translate here, this Otsur means saved, and Azuv assisted. No one is coming to save the Jewish people. No one is coming to assist them. They're Hefker. They're just out there in the world. They're extremely vulnerable. Throughout history, they've always been friends. The Jews had friends who would protect them, would take them in. When one nation would be our enemy, another nation would be our friends. The great miracle is that everyone wasn't our enemies at the same time. When the Christians were our enemies, then the Muslims were our friends. When the Muslims were our enemies, the Christians are our friends. That's the story of world history. And the miracle is that our enemies are not all our enemies at the same time. I know a person spoke publicly after he retired. He had a very, very political, very a position of involved in politics, and he survived longer than any of his peers and predecessors. And he said, "What was the secret to my survival? A lot of enemies in politics, but they were never my enemies at the same time." Exactly this idea. When this one was my enemy, that one was my friend. And when I made peace with him, that one became my enemy. So even though when you look at the big picture, you look at my history, everyone was my enemy, but not at the same time. When it will come a point in time when everyone's our enemy at the same time, then we're in trouble. That's called Efes Otsur V'Yozov. And then Hashem says, I have no choice but to bring the Gula. Yeah.
Well, when we speak of friends between Christians and Muslims, it's really friends of convenience.
But a friend is a friend. They're doing it for their own purpose, but the bottom line is, we benefit. We benefit. We survive. We survive.
Both oppressors, but one more and one less.
At different points in time. Like today. Today you could say, the Christians, Edom, more or less, are our friends. Can't say not. United States, to some degree, has our back. Eretz Yisrael, who are our primary enemies, who are trying to destroy us. The Muslims. Go back in earlier periods of time, was just the opposite. The Christians, they, in the most intense ferocity, tried to wipe us out. And who took us in? The Muslims. During the time of the Middle Ages, the Muslims, they were our best friends. Different kufas. Every generation, it keeps on switching back and forth. And the miracle is that we always have one side of the coin, someone's always on our side. But when it's Efes, Otsur V'Yozov, then we know that we are in a lot of trouble. Let me read the Rashi over here. It's a very important pasuk in Hazinu, pasuk Lamed. When Hashem sees that the enemy, the hand of the enemy, so Rashi over here is saying something a little bit different. There's a lot of playing around with the words. What I'm reading a pasuk in Chumash. You don't have it in front of you. Do not worry. According to Rashi in Chumash, ki ozlas yad, Chumash means it's prevailing. Ozla means to get stronger and stronger. The yad of the enemy. The enemy is getting stronger and stronger. Kishayireh, when Hashem will see, kiyad ho'oyev, the hand of the enemy, ho'ylechas v'chozekes, me'oid, very much alehem, upon the Jewish people, ve'efes bohem otsur v'yazuf, and none of the Jewish people are saved or assisted. And then he goes on to define exactly what these two words mean, otsur and azuf. He has a long description, which basically the article summarizes in two words, saved or assisted. Hashem said, now must bring the gula. That's not the way Rashi here is translating these words in this pasuk in Daniel, even though it's clearly been lifted from the pasuk in Hazinu. Here it's the same exact thing. When will this occur? This will occur. This is the end, almost this is towards the end of Hazinu. When will this occur? Here, Uchalois Napet will come to the dispersion. Yad Am Kodesh. The Yad Am Kodesh. Rashi. Uchalos nofeitz yadam kodesh keshetichla koyach Yisrael, when their koyach will end, as it says in the pasuk, ki ozlas yod. Rashi was translating, ki ozlas yod, the strength, the yad, the power of the Jewish. Ozla means will go away, not get better and better. Ozla can mean get stronger or can dissipate. Who's yad? Is it the yad of the goyim that's getting stronger, or is it the yad, the power of the Jewish people that's dissipating? So Rashi here appears to be learning the pasuk in Daniel different than he himself translated the pasuk in Hazinu.
Maybe when he says "Kishatich leKayef Yisrael," he's referring to the last three words, the Ephes Atzor Va'azo, not to the first.
I hear, but the reason why is because the Mitzudos. See, look at the Mitzudos clearly. Look at the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says Chalos Kasha Yichle Nefutos. Koyach, clearly he says, the koyach am kodesh, rotzolaymar, when the koyach of the Jewish people, the yad, is the koyach. That's clearly, look at even the mitzudas tzion, which is the same person, same time. Yad in koyach, shubi yad. So the mitzudos, David clearly learns that the word over here, on the pasuk, when he's taking that pasuk, yad am kodesh, well, in this pasuk, that's how you have to interpret it in this pasuk. You have no choice in this pasuk. Kinapates, when it will be dispersed, in this context means it will be weakened, the power of the Jewish people, the holy people. And then Rashi, Shtelling Tzu, where do we find such an expression of Yad and the Koyach at the end of days? The pasuk over here. If the pasuk over here clearly means, as the Mesudas explicitly says, weakening, and Rashi is telling through that pasuk with those same exact words, Rashi obviously is translating the words in the pasuk of there, meaning that Jews are becoming weakened. That's very interesting, because Rashi himself in Chumash translates those same exact words in reference to the strengthening of the Goyim. It's two sides of the same coin. But this goes to show how rich, the richness of one pasuk, of how you can play two different ways with the same one pasuk. That's the tragedy of the Yevanim. We discussed that what was Ches, the Korban of Ches Teves, they translated the Torah. When you translate the Torah and you say this is the authoritative translation of the Torah, you're limiting the Koyach to one approach. And Torah is infinite, has many different names. Okay, so we have to stop over here, but tomorrow we'll pick up over here what it means, the one Moyadim, the various interpretations, and we're coming towards an end. Okay, let's go to Mishnah Berurah.